Hector Serrano, the creator of Viva El Paso, will teach two courses on the history of theater this fall. It's part of the adult education courses in the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at the University of Texas at El Paso. Classes begin on September 8th, and registration is now open and runs through August 21st. Today, to talk more in detail about his courses, my guest is Hector Serrano. Welcome to State of the Arts.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for asking me.
It's always so great to see you. And to learn theater from our local master of theater is kind of cool.
Well, thank you. It's a nice compliment. Yes, I love the theater, and I hope through the class to be able to transfer that love to my students.
Oh, I'm sure it'll come through, because there's nothing like seeing somebody who's passionate about something, you know, and it just kind of goes through. So part one, let's talk about that, because that course is the one that people can sign up for now, yeah. Right?
Yes, right now. One. They can actually sign up for both.
Oh, okay.
Right now, you know. Well, part one will focus on the past history of theater. So basically we go from the year zero to 1775 or so, when America was founded, is the beginning of the new theater. So that'll be the focus of the second semester, which begins on October 26th.
Like you said, I mean, you could take part one and learn about the past and then part two and learn about the present.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take one before the other, though,
no,
correct?
No, not necessarily, no.
It's really about the eras and what you find the most interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the ancients.
Well, most people don't know that the beginning of theater was an accident. You know, it was part of a religious ritual that people attended when they would talk to their gods, you know, about taking care of them, protecting them. And it got to be one person would come to the center of the circle, because in the research, you know, as most Native Americans here in the United States, they practice religion by forming a circle. So the person would go to the center of the circle, and he would start reciting. And then it got to be really, really interesting. And so one person, and they'll find out who that was when they take my course, had the idea, why don't I take my friend George with me into the center of the circle? So that was the beginning of dialogue. And then, of course, as things do, well, instead of just two, why don't we have three? So most of the early plays that we will study from the Greek era were written only for three actors. Now, they played multiple parts, but there was only three people speaking at a given time. That's why they created masks. So if you came in with a different mask, you were a different character. But there were only three actors.
And were they always male actors?
They were always male actors up until Shakespeare's time, which is the Renaissance. And then an edict from the king had to be written allowing women to participate in the theater.
Very scandalous.
Yes, yes, that was the one. So they got to see real women. And part of the royal theater period is when women were real on stage. They had to show that they were real women. So they came in exploiting themselves. And consequently, the stigma of, you know, people who participate in theater are not, you know, nice people.
Oh, so that's See, where it comes from.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of things that we talk about have their beginnings in theater history. Like another thing that's interesting is once they built theaters for these performances, the actors had to come in through the back because they were not very, you know, respectable people. So they came in through the back, did their scene, and exited through the back. And nowadays, it's still the same way, but everybody thinks, oh, they don't want us to see them in costume and everything.
Right, now they're untouchable. Now they're
exactly,
these gods.
Exactly, you know, but it originally was what? You're second class, third class citizens, so you can't come in with the audience.
Well,
you know, even in Shakespeare's time, that was part of the theater-going tradition.
Now, that part one class takes us up through the royal.
Up to the royal period, you know, which is about the 1700s in France primarily. And that's where the royal theater began with Molière, who was a godfather to the king's son. So, you know, there was a lot of royal connections. And us, the common people, believe it or not, we're not allowed to go into theaters. Even as audience members, we weren't allowed. It was only for the nobles. And believe it or not, I tell my students that because of that ruling or that philosophy, a lot of people feel that the arts are still for the elite. Mm-hmm. You know, even our school system, darn it, they don't offer the arts to everyone because they feel that it's only special people. And we still have that idea, which came up during the royal period, that
no,
it was
I
for
mean,
the elite.
Yeah. That comes up even with museums. There's this intimidation factor.
Right.
But
exactly.
But now I see more and more, you know, museums doing efforts to come out to the people and be a part of
an
it.
An outreach
yes.
program. And, you know, yes. And I think that's very important because a lot of children wouldn't have the exposure to the arts were it not for the arts organizations themselves doing the outreach that most of them are doing. The symphony does it, the ballet does it, you know, we to a certain extent in Shakespeare do it, so.
Do you address that in the second half of your class, in the part two class that you'll be teaching from October to December?
Yes, yes. A part two, because one of the things that characterizes the modern theater is that now theater sort of is in a way segregated because you have theater for Black Americans, theater for Mexican Americans, theater for gay Americans, theater for people with handicaps. So there's theater for all these sectors, which is in a good way a positive thing. But I think it has not kept the theater for everybody aspect. So today theater is, you know, whatever you like, you can find a theater that offers that.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I think there's advantages to both, but I think the camaraderie, the mixing with other people, other cultures in the audience, talking about what you're seeing, I think that's a major, major significance of theater. And I think a lot of times we forget that because we're going to a theater that, say, it's strictly political.
Right.
And so if you're not interested in politics, what do? You don't go.
Right.
Because that's not your kind of thing.
But at the end of the thing, it's about coming together, right?
Coming together, yes.
And people can come together at your class.
At my class.
Offered through our OLLIE program for
right.
Individuals 55 and over. And I think it's important that we tell people, you know, you've got a lot to offer people. And if they don't sign up, the class doesn't make. So we got to make this class happen.
Yes, yes. That's why I'm so glad you invited me. And anybody there who thinks there is a possibility of them attending, it's only one day a week. From 1:30 to 3:00 every Thursday afternoon, starting September 10th.
All right. Well, don't forget, sign up for Theater 1 and 2. Go ahead and sign up for both of them. Why not?
Correct. Yes, at the beginning. Yeah.
And you could do that at the website, the OLLIE website, OLLIE, OLLI, at ATUTEP.org. Thank you so much, Mr. Serrano.
Yes. Yeah.